I want to remind, just before I get started, I want to remind those parents that have teens 6th through 12th grade that right after worship this morning, we're going to have a lunch over in the activity center, followed by a meeting. And I want to encourage all those parents and teens to attend that meeting. This is going to be time that we're going to be talking about some of the changes that you've probably already seen a little bit, and be going over our events for this summer and everything that we're going to be a part of. And so please, please, please be at that meeting. We'll have a free lunch in the activity center, and then we'll move up to the youth gathering room where we'll have our meeting at. Well, today I'm going to talk with you about impressing your kids. Yes, impressing your kids. Now, let me give you the big idea right up front. I'm going to give you the number one thing I want you to understand right up front. Moms and dads, raise your hand. Moms and dads, it is your responsibility, it is your job for your children's spiritual formation in the Lord. Your job. Now, if you're not a mom and dad, hold on tight. But if you are a mom and dad, it's important that you understand it is your job. You know, there is an African proverb that's pretty famous, and it says this: it takes a whole village to raise a child. And what I want you to understand is, as a parent, you have the support of this church. We are here to help you. We want to help you. And we're going to do that. But first, it's your responsibility. Now, if you're not a mama and papa, if you're not a mom and dad, I don't want you to check out, because you need to listen to this. If you are a grandma and grandpa, do we have any of those in here? Can we raise our hand? Grandma and grandpa, brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, right? Anyone, any Christian who cares about the next generation, right? Don't check out. There's stuff in this for all of us. Impress your kids. What do I mean by that? When I was in middle school, high school, and a couple times in college, I went down to Mexico for mission trips. And, you know, I always enjoyed the kids there. That was the best part. Yeah, doing work, doing manly things, you know, like building stuff, knocking things over. That was fun too. But I enjoyed the little kids. And the little kids would come up and they would love to play, you know, games with the Americans because we were different. We didn't look like them. And they just loved to interact. But with the language barrier, I found out really quickly that the thing I could impress these kids was by showing them one of my talents. Okay? I have this talent. People ask me all the time, how can you do it? I don't really know. It was just one of those things. When I was little, I did it, but I never figured it out. The talent is I can wiggle my ears. So I would bend down, and I'd point to my ear, and I would wiggle my ear, and they would point and laugh, and they would say these words, "Usted está loco, loco." Well, I thought they were saying, "You're pretty cool," so I like that. Sadly, I learned after a short amount of time that they were calling me crazy. It wasn't that they thought I was cool. They thought I was crazy. But wiggling my ears, is that what I mean to impress our kids? No. Now, as a student and family minister here of the teens, I have been guilty once or twice trying to impress them by being really cool. And I'm sure if you ask any of them, they'll tell you, I'm not cool. It just doesn't work. Sometimes I think I'm cool. Sometimes I want to be cool. But I just not have been able to achieve the coolness factor. But I want you to understand, being cool does not impress them. Hear me out. Being cool does not impress them. I have learned this. It does not impress them. What impresses them is a grown adult who is honest and genuine. That impresses them. Don't try to impress your kids by outcooling them. It's never going to work. It's not going to work. So what do I mean by impress your kids? I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Impress your kids. Impress God's word on your children. You know, the Hebrew word translated impress literally means to sharpen. To sharpen. As a student was sharpened by being taught. So it came to mean to sharpen by teaching, to instruct, to teach by repetition, to impress upon. This is what I mean by impress your kids. Impress them with God's word. Sharpen them spiritually and diligently, teaching them God's word. Impress God's word onto them. Before you try to impress your kids, there's a couple of things you have to do. You know what? We have to work on ourselves before we can impress our kids. And the first thing is, we have got to love God with all we've got. We have got to love God with all we've got. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Before you impress your kids, love God with all you've got. If you want your kids to love God, you've got to love God with all you've got. I heard this saying once, if you want to bleed, you've got to hemorrhage. If you want your kids to love God, you've got to love God with all you've got. If you love God less, if you love God with a half-hearted love, your kids may not love him at all. Plain and simple. Because the fact is, lukewarm faith isn't very contagious. It's like a cold that no one wants to catch. Love God with a half-hearted love, and your kids will probably take a pass. On the other hand, loving God with all you've got is contagious. Love God with all you've got, and your kids will probably love God too. First, you've got to love God with all you've got. Second, you've got to get God's word inside of you. Plain and simple. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Get God's word inside of you. Get it in your heart. How do you get God's word in your heart? Here's an idea. Start reading it every day. Feed yourself. Get God's word inside of you. Let it be on your heart. You can start doing that by reading the Bible each day, reflecting on what you read. Ask God to share with you one thing and write it down. Feed yourself before you feed your children. You've got to feed yourself. It's kind of like that pre-flight announcement, right? When you're in the airplane, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the one that no one ever listens to because they're talking, they're like trying to power down their phone, they're like nervous or whatever because they don't like flights. It's like the pre-flight announcement on the airplane. It goes like this. In an event of an emergency, oxygen masks will drop of the overhead compartment. If you're traveling with a child, remember this? If you're traveling with a child, please put your own mask on before assisting your child. If you can't breathe, you're not going to be much good to them, are you? Same thing spiritually. Please feed yourself before feeding your children. If you don't feed yourself on God's word first, you won't be able to feed your child. So first, we love God with all we've got. If we don't love God, we can't inspire it on our kids. Second, we must get God's word inside us. Get it in your heart before you even try to press it on theirs. And third,
Impress God's word on your children. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Diligently teach God's word to your kids. Impress them with God's word. When you impress someone, you leave behind an impression. It was a hot, humid day in the middle of Kansas City. Temperatures were boiling. The bus driver's 8-hour shift was almost over. Suddenly, behind him, he hears a commotion. He looks in his rearview mirror, and there's a young woman upset about something. She's just letting loose with a string of unrepeatable words. And as the bus driver's viewing this in his overhead mirror, he could sense everyone around her was embarrassed. Was embarrassed by the way she was acting. A few blocks later, the angry woman was disembarking. And as she stepped down, the bus driver said, "Ma'am, you left something behind." She quickly turned and snapped, "What is it?" Bus driver said, "A very bad impression." A very bad impression. Parents, you will leave an impression on your kids. You may not believe that. You may not see that yet. But one of these days, you're going to see it. You're going to know. More than anyone else in the world, you will leave an impression on them. And the question you have to ask yourself is what kind? What values, what convictions, what beliefs will you impress upon your children? God says He wants us to impress His words on them. How do you do that? Well, I want to give you three things. Right from Deuteronomy. Talk about it during the day. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Talk about it all through the day. You talk about what's important to you, right? Every day we talk about things that are important to us. So talk about it. Talk about God. You know, the spiritual education of children, in my belief, happens best not in the time of formal teaching, but in the time when it's the topic of conversation throughout the day. Look for teaching moments. Look for opportunities all through the day when your kids are curious, when situations arise and that require moral instruction of biblical values. You can talk about it at home. You can talk about it along the road. You can talk about it in the car. Here's an idea. Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, when church is over and you're on your way home, ask your kids what they learned. Have the conversation with them about spiritual matters. Here's the big idea. If you want to impress God's word on your kids, we've got to talk about it. When we get up, when we lie down, when we sit at home, when we walk along the road, we have to talk about it during the day. Watch for these teaching moments. Build some routines into the schedule. Talk about it. Wear it on your hands and on your head. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Wear it on your house. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, as Deuteronomy says. You know, many Jews took these literally. What they would do is they would wear this small leather box on their head and on their wrists. And inside were scriptures. Maybe even a scripture, including this one, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. That might have been in there. They would attach a small container to their doorpost. Inside it also would contain scriptures, maybe including this one. As they entered their house or their room, they would reach out and they would touch that box, and that was a reminder of God's word. You know, a daily perspective of that might be a WWJD bracelet, right? You're wearing that to remind you not only do what Jesus would do, right, but of God's word. And you may not attach something to your door frame on your house, but don't you have scripture maybe on your walls? I know I've got some. Reminders. And of course, we have something that we can take advantage of that a lot of families during this time didn't have. Bible. Something few families had. Look for creative ways to remind and reinforce what you teach your children. The idea is that you create an environment, no matter where you go, that reminds your children the Word of God. Parents, first love God with all you've got. Then get God's Word inside of you. Then impress it on your children. Your children's spiritual education and formation is your responsibility. Impress your kids. That's the Old Testament perspective. Now let's look at a New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your child. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. For the sake of time, I'm going to point out one thing here. Who is responsible for the spiritual training of children? Fathers. You know, most scholars think that fathers include both mom and dad. Some translations even call it parents. That's what we see. It was a male society, and it was common to address parental concerns with the father during this time. And I think it was providential because most dads need to be involved in their kids' spiritual training. What is clear is that we, dads and moms, we're responsible for that. So our primary responsibility is for our children's spiritual training. Now let me say this, because it affects us everywhere we're at. You might be a mom out there and you might be saying, I'm a single mom. Well, you know what? Remember at the beginning I told you, we're here as a church and we want to help in the spiritual training? There's a bunch of men out here. And some of these men out here need to step up in that role. And we need to help with these children. I want to leave you with some practical ideas, some things that you can do. Impress your kids by example. Be impressive. You all know that actions speak louder than words, right? I heard it said once, I cannot hear what you say for the thunder of what you are. But here's three important ways that you and I need to be a spiritual example to our children. Impress them with your love of God. Remember, lukewarm faith is not contagious, but a wholehearted love for God is. If you want your kids to love God deeply, you've got to set the example. If you've got the fever, they're probably going to catch it. Romans 12, 11 says, keep your spiritual fever. It's my responsibility to keep my love for God hot. I need to do whatever I have to do to love God with all I've got. I need to stay contagious, set the example, love God with all you've got. Impress them with your commitment to spiritual growth. You know, there's several spiritual disciplines or practices that help me personally grow spiritually and keep my love for God strong. And you need to remember, I'm now in that father category. So I've been thinking about this. These are things that you and I need to do to keep the fire stoked. When you do these, your kids will probably catch them from you. I've already mentioned devotions, right? Your daily time with God to read the Bible, pray, keep a journal. Coming to church each Wednesday and Sunday to worship and learn. You know, God set aside the seventh day as a holy day, a day of worship, the Lord's Day. When you make a commitment to be in community and worship each Sunday, your kids will probably catch that. When it becomes a matter of convenience, we go to church as long as there's nothing else to do or no other competing opportunities on the schedule, your kids will catch that value as well. When you make it a matter of convenience, you clearly communicate that church and spiritual growth and God are not really important. You make an impression. It is one, is that the one you want to make? You know, Sarah and I want to make it clear to our daughter Naomi, as she's growing up, that we go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. It will be no more optional than school or going to work. It will be part of our commitment to God and to our community of faith. We will impress it on her now and show it to her that it's important. Same thing with life group. Same thing with church camp, student ministry events. Same thing with tithing. As parents, we need to teach our kids that it's not a matter of convenience, but conviction and commitment. And now I'm going to step on some toes, and I'm sorry. Actually, no, I'm not sorry. Because I see this. And it goes back to what we're talking about. It's this. No extracurricular activities with school or sports need to get in the way of our walk with Jesus Christ. I see parents time and time and time again saying, well, they have football, they have this, they have that. Do you want them to live by that, or do you want them to live by God? I'm not saying those things are bad. I love them. I go and I support your kids. I'm there. But when it starts taking over our lives, of our spiritual relationship with Christ, we've got a problem. Do you want your kids to grow spiritually? Set the example in your commitment to spiritual growth. Impress them, and this one's going to be hard, impress them with your humility, not your perfection. You know, many parents, including me, are intimidated by this whole idea of being responsible for the spiritual formation of our children. We might feel underqualified. I don't know enough. I'm not spiritual enough. It feels overwhelming. My advice is to let that motivate you to start taking some steps I just gave you. Start working on your relationship with God and set that example. And then when you fall, when you blow it, admit it and ask for forgiveness. That's what I mean by impressing humility on them. Kids are going to think higher of you when you admit your faults and you ask them for forgiveness. Not easy, but they need to learn it. Here's some good news. You don't have to be perfect to raise kids who love God. You do not have to be perfect to raise kids who love God. There are no perfect parents. And here's another news flash. Your kids don't expect you to be perfect. Trust me. They're smarter than that. But they sure like it when you're honest and you're humble. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. When we're wrong, we have to admit it and ask for forgiveness. You know, there's a bumper sticker that I've seen before, and it says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. It applies here too. Set the example of humility. Admit your failures. Ask for forgiveness. Impress your kids by example. Impress your kids with God's word. Talk about it. Many people wonder how to talk about God's word. They feel underqualified. Here's some suggestions. Talk about it, about what you've learned in devotions. Share with your kids. Share Christ, right? Share with your kids the one thing that the Lord has given you in your devotions that day. If they're old enough, do devotions with them. Show them at an early age what it looks like. Ask them the one thing is that they've learned. Talk about what you have learned in your devotions. Talk about what you've learned at church. On the way home today, ask your kids what they learned in class. Talk about it together. If your kids are older, ask them what they've learned in church. Talk about it. And don't forget, here's the problem, we forget this step. Don't forget to set the example by sharing what you learned first. Don't ask from them unless you're willing to give too. I hope you come every week and you ask God to speak to you. When He does, pass it on. Tell them what you learned. Talk about life. Life is full of teaching moments. Opportunities apply God's word to life situations. You know, I hope you monitor what your children watch on TV and what they do on the computer. But here's something that we have to think about. Even the good shows, okay, the ones that we say are okay for our kids to watch, they have the occasional objectionable moments. And when those happen, we have a couple of decisions we can make. We can throw a fit. We can turn the TV off and tell them they can never watch that again. Or we can sit down and we can show them from a big biblical perspective why that's wrong. See the difference there? One, we're getting mad and we're not teaching them. We're just teaching them to be angry. The other one, we're teaching them a lesson from God's word. Talk about it in a way that impresses God's truth on your children. When your children get in a fight with each other or a neighborhood kid, it's a teaching moment. Listen first. Talk about it in a way that impresses God's word on them. That first boyfriend or girlfriend, I am so glad Naomi's still young. That's a huge teaching moment that I'm not ready for, but that's a teaching moment. When your kids are disappointed, when they have questions, when they're making decisions, really almost any time during the day is a teaching moment. Talk about it. Talk about it from a biblical perspective. Impress your kids. You are their primary spiritual teachers. Has that come through yet? I hope so. Because you are the ones in charge. Because we believe as a church that you moms and dads, you are the primary teachers. We're making some changes this year. We've already told you about that. You know, we have that family retreat coming in September. Moms and dads, bring your kids. You need to come. There's going to be some time in there. We're going to talk about some stuff like this. We want to train and equip you to impress your kids. We want to help you train your kids spiritually. We want to help you impress your kids. We want to partner with you. We want you to see what your kids are doing and to learn to be a part of that conversation with them. Impress your kids. Why not impress your kids this morning? Some of you. Maybe you need to impress the kids here this morning by taking on the waters of baptism. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe this morning as a parent, you need to respond to this invitation and say, I need to do better at impressing my kids. Remember this slide from last week? Our elders got up here and they gave us this charge. What does it say? Reflect God's glory. Transform lives. Share Christ. Parents, I have a question for you. Since your child was born, since that first day that you were able to hold them, have you reflected God's glory to your child? Have you took the lead to transform the life of your child spiritually? Do you share Christ with your children? Maybe some of you have said yes this morning, but I want to remind you we're all humans, and I know we can do better. What a beautiful thing it would be for each parent were to come forward and respond to this invitation with this goal that as we leave here this morning, as you and I walk through those doors, that we go with this. We go with this, listen, that we leave here this morning, that we're going to do everything in our power. We are going to do everything in the light and strength of Jesus Christ to make a commitment to reflect God's glory onto our children, to work day and night, nonstop, sleepless nights, to help change our children spiritually, to transform them spiritually. And then we share the love of Jesus Christ with our children. What if we took that commitment this morning and we said we will do whatever it takes? What a beautiful thing to impress our kids by, to see them as you, as a mom and dad, taking that commitment this morning. I think too many times we're scared to take a commitment. We're scared to respond. Well, you know what? If you weren't scared, I would say you didn't believe in Christ. We're scared because Christ wants us to know it's a serious commitment. I hope you understand we're talking about the next generation here. The next generation that I hope will take a stand for Jesus Christ. Because the only ones that can change this world is God working through them. But parents, it's time. It's time we respond. It's time that we start in the house and we start doing this, that we reflect God's glory to our children, that we help transform their lives in Christ, that we share Christ with them. Because if we can't do that in our home, we can't do that in the world. And I hope, as parents, you'll respond. Only you can decide for yourself what you need this morning. Impress your children. If we can do anything in any way for you this morning, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Call.